Now, folks, that was just a little taste there of Billy Joel and We Didn't Start the Fire. I would have played the whole song, but it's nearly 5 minutes long, and I do want to get my guest on, so I'm going to go straight to him. Max, good evening, or good morning.
Good morning, brother. Nice to be here.
And you're lovely and nice and clear there, Max. It's a great signal you have there, all the way in Brisbane in Australia.
Yeah, close to Brisbane, out in the sticks, out the back from Brisbane.
I take it it's nice and warm over there at the moment, is it?
Well, it's raining, it's been flooded and all sorts of stuff, so it's okay. It's a bit wet.
Right, it's wet over here as well, but this is Ireland. It rains every day here, you know. It'd be strange if it didn't rain in this country. So, Max, I've been, I suppose, a fan of yours, for want of a better word. I've been following your work for many years now, since you made your debut onto the internet, I suppose, with The Crow House, which is a great website, folks, thecrowhouse.com. And I've been particularly intrigued by the amount of work you've done on behalf of Gaza, especially.
Well, you know, once you go there and see what's really going on the ground there, you can't help it. I mean, when I see the situation in Gaza, I mean, I know there, I've been there, I've met the people, they're my friends, and it'd be the same if I'd met you and suddenly you were being bombed. You know, you can't just put this stuff down once you've met the people. And the human rights abuses that are going on there are just absolutely atrocious, and it's just on and on and on. I mean, after what they just did to them, bombed them into oblivion, killed 500 children, 2,500 civilians, and obliterated like 75,000 homes or something. Now they've just flooded the place. They've opened the dam gates and just flooded all of Gaza with dam water from Israel. I mean, it's just ongoing. They're still there, shooting people from the borders, shooting fishermen, shooting at farmers. We don't hear about any of this on the news. And it's absolutely disgraceful. It's a human rights tragedy that's happening right in front of our faces, and it's continuing because nobody's paying attention. So we need to pay attention to it. You know, we need to put some focus on it. I think it's an opportunity for us. It's an opportunity for the whole world to rein our governments in, because it's a war crime and human rights violation of massive proportions being supported by all of our governments, which gives us the opportunity to rein our governments in.
Now, as you know, here in the West, and like in Australia as well, in New Zealand, you're not allowed to criticise Israel. No one is. The accused have been anti-Semitic. But you've spoken many times in your shows, this is not a Jewish thing. This is a Zionist agenda that's been played out in Gaza.
And well, it is a Zionist agenda, and more than anything, it's a human agenda. It's a human rights issue. People need to get this whole concept of race and religion and countries out of their minds. This is a human rights issue. These are people that are trapped in a prison that are being abused by other people. That's the bottom line. Forget all of the nationalism and ethnic pride, and forget the religions, and forget all about that. Just look at it as a humanitarian issue. It's not acceptable.
Now, I have a friend of mine I'm in college with, a gentleman called Assad, and he's from Gaza. He's a Palestinian. And he was lucky enough to get out of Gaza the day the IDF decided, or the Israeli Defense Forces decided to invade Gaza yet again last summer. And at the time, he was telling me like what was going on there. That he said, it's crazy, Mick, he says, when you see a war zone on the television, you see the odd missile getting fired here and there. What's happening there is you'll see a missile fired at a block of flats. There could be 500 people living in that block, and it will just collapse in seconds, and no one has a chance to even get out.
Yeah, exactly.
It's going on all over Gaza. It's crazy.
Yeah, all over Gaza. It's absolutely obscene what's being done to these people. And people have to understand, this is a population mainly of children. Mm. You know, women and children are the main people in Gaza. There's not a large male population there. And to say that these are all terrorists, it's absolutely absurd. I mean, Israel's carrying out wholesale terrorism against these people all the time. And I'm sick of being people saying, oh, you can't criticize Israel, it's anti-Semitic to criticize Israel. This is a load of rubbish. Mm. The people that are in Israel are mainly of European descent. There's more Semitic blood in Palestine than there is in 90% of Israel. You know, the current Israeli government is the most anti-Semitic organization on the planet. And get rid of this ethnicity. Get rid of this whole concept of Jews and Muslims. Like I said, it's not about that. It's about people. And this is a human rights tragedy, and we're supporting it via our inaction. And we're tied up, and we're constrained with words like anti-Semitism. It's absolutely ridiculous. It's time that the people started to stand up and call a spade a spade.
Now, I'm sure you're aware of the situation here in Ireland as well, with the protests that are going on, and particularly with water. They're trying to privatise the water here, and they're forcing water meters upon people. And like, even this morning, I was taking my young lad to school, and there's an area not far from where they live, and was it about 5 or 6 water meter installing crews, and at least 40 guards, i.e. police officers, protecting them. And this is nationwide, and this is fascism gone crazy.
It is, and it shows how little regard police have for actual law. I mean, police follow legislation, but they don't follow law. I mean, law's natural law, and who's going to privatise water? What person believes they have the right to demand payment for water, which is a basic necessity of life? The politicians that have put this legislation in place, they're allowing the privatisation of water, are carrying out human rights abuses right now, and should be dismissed from office. They should be held in abusive office, breach of trust, and they should be taken to The Hague and tried for human rights violations. You can't make people pay for the basic necessities of life. It's ridiculous. Paying for water, whichever psychopath has dreamt this up, needs to be removed from office. And the police need to wake up to themselves and realize that water is necessary for life. And if politicians are putting in rules in place, making people pay for water, then it's their duty to go and arrest these morons and these psychopaths and remove them from office. The job of the police is to protect society, not to enforce whatever corrupt legislation is given to them by whatever sociopathic politician decides to write it out. It's ridiculous. People have to readjust their perspective and put a little bit of humanity back into the equation, because the world's gone mad. And it's gone mad because people are just following the dictates of psychopaths. And that's who these people are. Our countries are all being run by psychopaths. I mean, think about it. Well, who but a psychopath could privatise water? Who could put people in a state where they may die from thirst if they don't have money? This is absolutely absurd, and people need to wake up and smell the coffee.
Yeah, I mean, that's what's going on now in this country, Max. I mean, as recently as last week, 5 water protesters now have been sent to prison in this country for contempt of court, basically.
Well, you know, how can you not have contempt of court if the court is in contempt of life? That's the thing. The courts are in contempt of life, and that is the fact of the matter.
Now, we're having these water charges imposed in this country. Now, they did try to bring it out in Ireland back in the 90s, and there was uproar from all the political parties. They didn't even want it, and it wasn't introduced back then. Now, as you well know, Ireland is probably one of the most screwed countries in the world as far as banking bailouts is concerned. And as part of our bailout deal, the Troika, as they're known here in Europe, stipulated that as part of the bailout deal, Ireland had to privatise the water and start basically charging people for the water. Now, when they tried to do that in the 90s, and the uproar that went with that, they decided then to put a couple of pence extra on motor tax and a couple of pence extra on house tax, on property tax. And that extra tax was put aside then to pay for the water infrastructure. But now we're being double charged now.
Well, this is just typical of governments. And people really need to step back and look at this. Like I said, it's a basic necessity of life. You know, you employ a government. These are people that you actually employ. These are members of your society. They're just people. They don't have any authority. They're just people born in houses like you, like everybody else, and we elect them and put them into managerial positions to look after our infrastructure and ensure we have a prosperous and functional society. And what these people do is they get in there and they start charging you for the basic necessities of life and lining their own pockets and serving corporate interests. It's all abuse of office. It's all breach of trust.
Now, the fact
it's one of the people of the world stood up and called it for what it is, you know?
Now, the fact that they're serving corporate interests, as you just mentioned, that is the dictionary definition of fascism.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's what it is. It's a fascist system. It's a psychopathic system. You've got a system that is willing to support an economic model over life. That's the bottom line. You know, we need to support the economy. We need to bring in austerity measures and all this sort of stuff because we need to balance the books where we have to do it at the expense of the people. You know, the system was put there to serve the people, and now we're serving the system. Now, we will live in states of absolute hardship in order that the economy will prosper. But the economy is supposed to be there to serve us. The economy is fiction. It's a bunch of numbers on a screen. You can't eat it. It isn't real. It isn't alive. People are alive. And we're discarding life in order to balance the books. It's a psychopathic system. That's the problem. And people operate within psychopathic parameters whether they want to or not. And they have to wake up and smell the coffee. Start acting according to moral parameters. If there's any legislation or any rules that are put in place by government which put people in a state of hardship, then the government is in abusive office. It's as simple as that.
Now, I was listening to your show the other day, the last one that you've done with, is it Richie Allen, I think, over in the UK, the Irish guy?
Yeah, Richie Allen was the last interview I did.
Over the weekend. It was a brilliant show. And you mentioned there what you just mentioned, that it's about balancing the books. And you, as far as I remember, you were saying that when people are getting evicted from their homes, for example, it's not about the banks gaining that asset. It's about balancing the books.
Yeah, that's what it's about.
It's anti-life because they're putting somebody out onto the street in order just to balance the books, because that's what it's about. The books need to be balanced.
That's exactly right. That's what they're doing. And it's all about the economy. And even the politicians get praised for the work they did to improve the economy. Even with the Queensland government, it was just dismissed here. And the federal government said, well, we're going to look back and we're going to see that, you know, Campbell Newman did a great job of improving the Queensland economy. And we're taught that this is what it's all about. We have to improve the economy at every expense. That's what it's all about. And the economy is fiction. And we're improving the economy constantly at the expense of life, at the expense of the planet, at the expense of our environment, at the expense of our habitat. We're destroying our habitat in order to balance the books. It's ludicrous. It's absolutely ridiculous. And people have to fix it. I mean, the solution has to come from the people. That's the only solution that we have. People have to stand up and speak their truth and call a spade and stop taking a backward step to these criminals that have taken over our governments.
Yeah, and I mean, it's not just, you know, governments. It's basically the whole planet that this criminal elite, for want of a better word, they've taken over the whole planet, Max. And I've heard you plenty of times talking about the New World Order, and I mention this to people all the time, and they can't say it. They say, not New World Order, you know, we've got our own government here and our own government there. And I try to explain to them, like, that all these governments are controlled by the same faction, if you will.
Like, well, they are. Each country is more like, it's like a department store. If you can think of it, it's all run by the money system. It's the banking system, the international banking system, the IMF, the World Bank, that supply all of these governments with money, and that's who controls the governments. All they are CEOs of different corporations. You can think of each country as a different department store, all part of one global franchise. And what these wars are basically hostile takeovers of other economies. The war on terror is a war that was waged against every country that doesn't have a central bank.
Yeah.
That's what all this is about. It's about controlling the world by controlling the financial system, forcing people into a state where they have to pay to be alive, and then controlling the flow of money to governments, lending money to governments at interest. It's all privately run. It's a group of private people that sit above governments that finance this whole thing through this whole fictional economic system, because they've tricked everybody into believing it's real. I mean, people have to look at it. It's all corporate. Look at the trade agreements that we're doing, the Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement, for example. I don't know whether that affects Ireland, but it affects us over here. And this is all about free trade. It's all about opening it up for corporate interests in all of your countries. It's absolutely ridiculous. We've got to step above all this, realize that corporations are not people. They don't have the rights of people. Even the fact that our politicians have granted corporations the rights of people is, again, abuse of office. You know, you can't have something that isn't alive, that is destroying that which is alive, and doing it legally. It doesn't make sense at all. We've really got to step back and look at this. We need to readjust our perspective and change the way we operate with each other. We're never going to change the system if we continue to operate within its parameters. We've got to start calling a spade and change our perspective to operate within moral parameters. That's the only way out of this situation, Mick. It really is. I mean, all of the movements that people start, if the people aren't going to be involved themselves and change their perspective and change how they interact with people, then we're just, you know, shouting at the wall. We're not going to get anywhere. No one can come along and lead us to freedom. The people have to lead themselves by standing up for what they are and the rights that they inherently have as living beings, you know.
Instead of sitting at home watching soap operas and The X Factor and wondering why their lives are in such a mess. Max, listen, I need to go to my full set of ads, so do you mind holding on?
Absolutely, it's all good. Not a problem.
Okay, folks, be back in 2 minutes with the great Max Egan.
Akrila er een race on downda ik Little Sound FM Punka E. Als een nieuwe scheep Punka Car FM, Chagui Little Sound.
Now, folks, you're very welcome back. Max, you're still with me?
I certainly
Hello.
Am.
Hello. Brilliant.
You hear me?
That's great. Max, I do have a friend of mine. Yeah, I can indeed. I have a friend of mine in the studio with me, Darren, as well, so he might pop in from time to time and maybe ask the odd question if something pops to mind.
How you doing, Mike?
Always good,
I don't know if you can hear him there. That his name is Darren. Max, let me see now, where do I want to go from here? Yes, this New World Order thing, a lot of people think that most of the troop movement, I suppose, is, I wouldn't say a scam, because there's a lot of people like yourself who are out there, you know, putting out the truth and stuff like that, shows like my own, shows like People's Internet Radio, Sean McGuire, who show you've been on plenty of times on Out of the Bag. There is a lot of misinformation out there, Max. You know, what's your best advice for anyone that's, you know, getting into this and looking at information? Is there anything you should stay away from?
Well, look, all the New Age stuff and all the concept that we're going to be saved by aliens or something, you know, like...
Yeah, I'm still waiting for it, honestly.
Mate, all of this Pleiadian stuff, all these concepts that there's a the dragon family that's running the global finances and they're going to pull finances from the people and all this. This is all people waiting for a savior. Everyone's waiting for someone to do something. Anybody who tells you that change is imminent, stay away from these people because change isn't coming unless you participate. That's the thing. No one's coming to save us. You know, all of these things are saviors that are coming. You know, whether a comet's coming to crash into the planet, or the ninjas that are in there are going to take over the government and all this sort of stuff, and the dragon family who's going to pull finances from them. It's all imminent. Just wait. We're preparing. You know, all of this sort of stuff. It's rubbish. You know, it's got to come from the people. That's the only change that we're going to get. There is a lot of disinformation out there. There's a lot of people that are making a lot of money out of this. A lot of people that are selling fear, that a lot of people have a vested interest in maintaining the fight. They won't promote anything that may provide solutions. They won't promote any unity. Any unity, oh no, this is the new world order. People are so scared of the new world order. They don't want the old world order because the old world order brought us here, but they want change, but they don't want anything to change because they don't want the new world order. You know what I'm saying? It's a complete mind cage that they've got themselves in. We've got to change things, and we do need change. We do need a new world. We just need one without the order. You know, consciousness is not orderly. Life is not orderly. It's diverse. We need diversity. We need to be free to create. We need a new world, but we don't want the order. We just have to stand up and call a spade a spade. The change has got to come from the people.
And can I ask you
I would stay away from anyone that's telling you that change is imminent and that someone's going to lead you to safety, because you have to lead yourself.
Yeah, I mean, Benjamin Fulford, I keep my eye on his blog, and I have done for the last number of years. And as he says, what he claims is that there's this esoteric war going on at the very top of the pyramid between the White Dragon family in the east and the Illuminati in the west, and that the White Dragon family are going to save us all, and they're going to save planet Earth, and we're all going to be rich. You know, that's basically what he says.
Yeah, look around you, folks. Look at the state of the world. You know, we've got this whole fake war on terror going on. We've got this whole fake ISIS group being run out of Israel telling the world that the Muslims are coming. We've got videos coming out saying that, you know, directed at the Nation of the Cross, which doesn't exist, trying to unite the Christian world in a war against Islam. And while this is happening, we're being locked down into a police state under the pretext of keeping us safe from terrorism. And everybody's distracted with this idea that there's all these good guys and there's this battle going on at the top. What about the battle that's going on right now in the streets of all of our cities, the battle that's going on between you and your government right now, because your government is taking your rights away and they're locking you down into a police state while you're waiting for someone to puppeteer the finances at the top, and you're not even thinking that money is fiction. We made the whole thing up. You know, interest-based currency, the private issuance of currency, interest-based currency, this is the problem. This is the problem. It doesn't matter who's running what. It doesn't matter who's financing who. It doesn't matter what families are arguing with each other at the top. What about what's happening to you and your family in your society right now that's happening because you're not paying attention and you're waiting for someone at the top to come and fix things? You know, people have to wake up and smell the coffee, man. They really do. If people started acting according to moral parameters and questioning authority, questioning anything which causes them to deviate from their moral compass, we could change the world in a day. But they have to realize that no one's coming to save them. They have to be prepared to save themselves. And if they're not prepared to stand up and stand in their integrity, what makes them think that they're even worth saving? I mean, really. We've got to take a little bit of self-responsibility here. People want to be free, but they don't want self-responsibility, and freedom is self-responibility. That's what it is.
They just want someone else to fight for. They don't want to fight for it themselves.
It isn't even a matter of fighting, though, brother. It's just a matter of standing up and speaking your truth.
Well, it's not fighting. I mean, like, everybody's fight is different. Not everybody's fight is violent. Your own fight could be in a court. You know, like,
exactly. Yeah. Exactly. People want someone to lead them to freedom. Oh, look, the world is free now because I sent this guy $2 every month to make him so he could keep doing his radio show. And, gee, he saved the world, and I never did anything. I can still stay here and watch my TV. It just means the price of the groceries is going to go down. I mean, this just seems to be the way people think. I don't know what it is, but that's what's wrong with the freedom movement and the truth movement, is that it's become this big soap opera television show for people, and everyone wants the next installment of what the evil cabal's doing, and they all sit back with their popcorn and watch the world turn to hell around them and hope the good guys win. You know, but they're not prepared to participate. And all you've got to do is stand up and speak your truth. Just question authority. when these people are coming to do these water meters, start asking, how come a politician believes he has the right to make me pay for water when I actually employed him to manage my infrastructure for him? I consider him to be an abusive office. Excuse me, officer, is abusive office a crime? If there's a politician that is in abuse of his power, is that a crime? Yes, sir, it is. Well, I'd like to have this guy charged with abusive office. Exhibit A, the water meter these people are putting on my house that I did not give him permission to do. Yes. You know, if the whole country stands up and says that, what are they going to do? They've got nowhere to go, but the people have to be prepared to stand up and do it and speak the truth.
But there, Max, at the moment now in this country, like as I said, 5 people have been locked up for doing just that, for objecting to the water meters. And over the weekend, there's been literally thousands of people in the streets of Dublin protesting outside the 2 main prisons in Dublin where they're locked.
Well, that's good.
Now, unfortunately, it has taken a turn for the worse because these 5 people have basically seen fit to go on hunger strike now.
I'll just cut in there. I actually think that a hell of a lot more people are needing to be willing to go to prison. I mean, like, we need to fill them prisons, like with people. To be honest with you, like as you say, all have our own part, and be willing to go to prison for a month.
Be willing to go to prison. Sure, I mean they're very brave people and they're doing a great service to the community. But also, when you're dealing with it, you've got to look at the approach that you're taking. It's no good just protesting outside the prisons. You've got to look at what the root cause of the problem is, which is abuse of office.
Yeah.
Abuse of office is the most serious charge that a politician can have put against them. Now, think about it. If people employ government to manage their infrastructure and the government are putting in measures making you pay for water and putting you in jail if you don't, this is abuse of office. So water is one of the most basic necessities of life. You cannot live without water. 3 or 4 days without water, you're dead. That's the way it is. Maybe a week, you know, if you're a big guy with a lot of water in your body. But yeah, that's it. This is abuse of office, pure and simple. And that's the approach people need to take. Not just protesting outside the streets and saying we demand our rights, but standing there and saying we charge you with abuse of office. We want our police, we want our legal system to root out these politicians that are putting in these corrupt pieces of legislation and have these people charged with abuse of office. That's the approach people need to have. And unless you do that, start going for the jugular with these guys and hitting them where it hurts and charging them for what they've done, then you're not going to succeed. There is no legal remedy. The only legal remedy you're going to find is understanding the legal system is a double-edged sword and it can be used against them if the people approach it in the right way. You don't petition these people. You tell them what you want them to do and you charge them with abuse of office if they don't do it.
Yeah, it's one thing that people need to get their heads around in this country is, and it is growing, is sovereignty. You know, most people in Ireland associate the word sovereignty with the British royal family, but they don't realise that this country in 1918 had a 32-county general election where the people were sovereign and not the executive. But unfortunately, then King George V in 1922 took it upon himself to foist the Oireachtas, a British construct upon us, which is still in existence to this day. And all our political parties become members of this Oireachtas. You know, it's a de facto government. They're a provisional de facto government. They're not a sovereign de jure government.
Exactly, but the people are sovereign. The people are still sovereign. Everybody on the earth is sovereign. If the government's claiming you're not sovereign, ask the government to show you proof of claim that they own your flesh. Because they don't. This is, again, abuse of office. This is the thing. So many people are going down these Freeman rabbit holes looking for sovereignty, and they're looking for somewhere written within the fiction that they can use to claim their sovereignty. And what they're forgetting is that it's all fiction.
Mm.
It's just stuff they wrote down on paper. You are living flesh and you are sovereign. And if anyone is claiming otherwise, ask for proof of claim. And if they can't provide you with that proof of claim, then they're running a slavery system. They're in abusive office and they need to be taken to The Hague and tried for human rights abuses. This is the attitude people need to start taking with these governments. Governments are just people. They're people born in houses, same as you, born in your society, that you elected to positions of management. That's it, management. They're supposed to manage our infrastructure for us. They're not our rulers. The only reason people think they're our rulers is because the government has taken over the education system and they've trained people to believe this.
Yeah.
They've trained people to be good little subservient debt slaves.
I mean, I remember when we went to school, and I see Darren with a wry smile on his face here. When we went to school as 5 and 6-year-olds, the first thing they do to get you to respect authority is they get you to ask to go to the toilet in Irish. Now, they made it their business not to teach you the language. They tried to beat the language into us, so we didn't want to learn it. But you'd have to ask to go to the toilet in Irish. And how you would ask is, you would say, I'm Will Cadogum, Dullamark, Marseille, the Hulle, they were the words you'd have to use. And when you asked them, they'd say no. They would never let you go, and this was their way of training you to...
No, I believe that they used it as a conditioning purpose, you know, to make you respect authority from a young age.
But you had to ask authorities for permission to commit an act of nature, yeah.
Exactly. I mean, that didn't really work for me at school. I got kicked out of all my schools, so... I worked in primary school, but by the time I got to high school, I'm just going, no, I'm not doing any of this stuff anymore, you know. You guys aren't teaching me what I should be learning. And so I didn't work very well with school. But, yeah, that's how they do it, mate. It all starts in school. What school's about, really, is to train you to respect authority, to not ever question anybody who you know, don't think outside of the box, and to be a good, functional little cog in the big machine, and that it's all about supporting the economic model. You must leave the status quo the way it is, leave the big decisions to the big people, just go out there and try to get a good job so that you can buy a house and have a mortgage and get 2.4 kids and a white picket fence.
And become an obedient taxpayer. I mean, even in Dublin, we have lampposts here, old ornate lampposts that were left over from the Victorian era. And there's Latin inscriptions on it. Now, I can't remember exactly what it says in Latin, but the English translation basically translates into, "Happy is the city where the citizens obey."
Yeah.
Now, exactly. It's not a bloody lamppost. You know that this stuff is in your face. They're not hiding from you.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, you know, people have to realize that this is a scam. They're being scammed. The human race is being discarded in order to support an economic model which is anti-life, which has been designed to lock people into debt slavery and discard those that are not needed to run the machine. Now we've got to step back and look at it. We can't do this anymore. We've got to stop fighting all these wars and stop paying all these taxes and stop doing what these criminals are demanding that we do. And they're all criminals. Every government on this planet is a bunch of criminals. The Irish government, they're all criminals. The Australian government, British government, American government, they're a bunch of criminals and psychopaths. And if people don't believe that, well, have a look around you. Exhibit A, the Earth. Have a look at the place. Every problem that we've got on this planet is a result of legislation that's been put in place by government, which has happened because the people are disempowered and disunited. If we can start respecting each other and unite our communities in common respect, we can stand up to anything the government does. You know, we can just be eloquent, call a spade, speak our truth and take the moral high ground in all that we do. No one has authority over you. You are living flesh. These people are your employees, for God's sake. We don't have to do what they say at all. And these police need to wake up to themselves. They really do. Unfortunately, they've lowered the IQ on the police induction tests, and the guys that they're getting in the police force now are just people who are just trained to follow authority and do what they're told and belong to the big boys group that they're in and, you know, succumb to peer group pressure and all of this sort of stuff. So that's one of the biggest problems we face. It's like we've got a brick wall of stupidity between us and government, which is the police force, and they're violent and they're thugs, and they're supposed to be the protectors of society, and that's a big problem. And they're not addressing the real crime. The real crime, like making people pay for water. This is a crime. This is an absolute crime against humanity, and the police should be going and arresting the politician which wrote the legislation immediately. They should do this. It's just not acceptable. But they don't, because the legislation's got a little rubber stamp on it, and they're told that they have to do whatever it says on a paper with the rubber stamp on it. You know what I mean? It's just a piece of paper.
Yeah.
It's just a piece of paper, that's all it is. It's not law, it's legislation. And it actually contravenes law, because law is natural law, and natural law is built on morals and based on morals.
But isn't the problem that if you try to go into a court, no matter what country it's in, that are under this system, like you can go into an Irish court or a British court, you can only go in there and argue legal. You can't argue like law with these people because, as you said, we live under a legal system.
Exactly. So you've got to use that legal system against them and go for the throat. Don't go there and defend yourself against standing up against water meters. Go and find out who enacted the legislation which is making these water meters mandatory and charge them with abuse of office and use their legal system against them and get them to prove how they're not in abuse of office for making you pay for the most basic necessity of life.
I mean, even our constitution guarantees us the right to existence, basically, which is the right to water, clean, abundant, fresh water, you know?
Exactly.
Now, Darren, do you want to say something there?
Yeah, it's like, Max, would it be up to, like, a citizen to charge them with this?
Well, I guess so. But the whole society needs... See, the whole... You need to rally the community to express a loss of confidence in this government's ability to govern and have them dismissed on abuse of office. Because, I mean, loss of confidence. This is another phrase that they hate. Abuse of office, loss of confidence, and dismissal. This freaks them out. And you could rally the community to this. You could, like, just say, hey, water is the most basic commodity of life, and our government, whom we employ to manage our infrastructure, is now in abusive office by making us pay for this, and I wish to express a loss of confidence in this government who's with me. You'll find you'll get most of the nation stand up and express a loss of confidence in their government's ability to govern and call a public referendum and have them dismissed. You could do it that way.
Well, see,
I'm not sure how the legal system would work, but you need to tell them that you have lost all confidence in them, you know, and that they're in abusive office, because they are. And the people don't have any confidence in these people anyway. So all you've got to do is find what it is that's going to unite your community to this common cause, you know.
I think this this water charge has fairly united our community, because we've had marches now. We've had like over 100,000. And these people are travelling from all four corners of Ireland, basically.
What are the marches doing? What's the objective of the march?
I'm in agreement with yourself. It has to go much further than that is at the moment.
It does, because unfortunately we have these marches and we kind of walk down the street with placards and shake our fist and yell bad words at them. It doesn't really go anywhere. Then we go home and we think we've actually done something, but we haven't. Didn't go anywhere. It's a show of solidarity, which is great, but you need to march to somewhere, have a speech and say, okay, well, let's look at how we can deal with this. Let's look at this. This is an abuse of office, and it's time that we expressed our loss in this government's ability to govern, a loss of confidence in this government's ability to govern due to their decision to charge us for one of the most basic commodities of life. You go up there and say that in a nice, eloquent sentence like that to the people of Ireland. These are staunch people. I mean, Ireland, these guys are great. You know, I reckon Ireland can identify with Gaza more than anybody because some of the stuff you guys have been through.
Mm.
But if you can say this to the people in the right way, they're going to go, well, yeah, that's exactly what it is. It's an abusive office, and we have lost confidence in our government. So let's express that. Let's initiate a public referendum or whatever we've got to do. Whatever we'll do within your legal system, we don't care. If you want us to play by your rules, fine. Tell us what the rules are, because we have lost all confidence in your ability to govern. We wish to dismiss you for abuse of office. And don't back down. And there's no way out of that. If the population rises up and says that, that's using their terms. Loss of confidence and abuse of office. These are the most dangerous things and freaky things that a politician can hear, because their career is over with those two terms.
So do you think something as simple as a test case, if somebody just implemented a test case, you know, drew up a notice of motion, then a grounding affidavit, and just lodged the case and forced them then to hear the case?
Help. That could help. As long as you had enough public opinion behind you, you've got to have public knowledge of this. You've got to have publicity behind it.
Yeah.
And you've got to be saying loss of confidence in this government. We need the people of Ireland to stand up and express a loss of confidence in this government, because they're charging us for water and it's not acceptable.
Yeah.
Max, one of the things that I've seen is basically politicians, they become politicians for a short time in their career, and then they go on and they go on the board of some corporation. So it's kind of like they're switching between corporations and
politics.
So this is how they've done it. Like, they've infiltrated more or less the political system.
Oh, yeah.
And people, they're writing legislation for corporations now. Like the whole thing has been turned around. But basically, you're right, there was, we created the government, then government created, or then we created corporations. But basically now it's corporations are telling governments what to do, and then the government are telling us what to do.
Yeah,
again, because of legislation the governments have put in, because of the corporate control of governments, and all this has happened because we're not paying attention, and we're voting people in, we're voting people out, we're petitioning them, we're thinking they're our rulers, but they're not. They're our employees, and they're in abusive office, and we have to look at it that way. And if we approach it that way, I think we've got a winner, you know?
I mean, the first time I heard you say that, and it was many, many years ago, where you were talking about governments being in positions of trust, and it's an abuse of trust the way that they're behaving in this country and many other countries around the world. And I think it is the way forward, is to get them on an abuse of trust in their own system, like take them to their own courts.
Yeah. Show them how it isn't an abuse of office to make you pay for water. I mean, what to support the economy? Well, hang on, didn't we create the economy so that we would have a prosperous community in order we could trade with each other and perform commerce? Isn't that what the economy is all about? Why has it become this thing that we must support at the expense of life?
Mm.
Something's gone wrong here. This is abuse of office. This is a breach of trust. If the economy is now discarding life in order to balance the books, then we need a serious reevaluation of the system. I mean, start calling a spade. When you look at this stuff, we don't have to play by your rules. Your rules are putting us in jail for drinking water, for God's sake. I mean, you're kidding me? You call this legal? You call this sane? This is ridiculous. This is not what we employ you people to do. You're employees. You go to government. You swear to serve the Irish people. Remember, you took the oath. You held your hand up. All that sort of stuff. Or you're in abusive office because you're not serving us anymore.
I'd never believe the Irish government saved the Irish people for one simple reason. And you can look at this up yourself, Max. I'll actually send you a link to it later on. Article 17 of Seastat Éireann, which is the 1922 constitution that was foisted upon us by King George V. Well, Article 17 is an oath of allegiance to King George V. And it's embedded in the Oireachtas. And we still have the Oireachtas in this country to this day. Like, when they're speaking about the Parliament on the news, like, colloquially over in this country, it's known as Dáil Éireann. But officially, Dáil Éireann hasn't sat in this country for 90 plus years. Because it only sat between 1919 and 1922. And of course, it didn't suit the British government. So they basically overthrew it and infiltrated and put in the Oireachtas. So when present day politicians are swearing an oath of allegiance to the Oireachtas, it's actually an oath of allegiance to King George V and his successors, namely Queen Elizabeth.
Well, there's an abusive office straight away, isn't it? You know, I mean, let's really look at this. I mean, it's all fiction anyway, isn't it? Ultimately, it's all fiction. All of this stuff that they write on paper is all fiction.
And the worst
can look through it and we can look for remedy, but the remedy is going to come from our hearts. We've got to start speaking our truth and just calling things for what they are, regardless of what's written down on any paper anywhere.
Yeah, Max, listen, I need to go to my last set of ads, so do you mind holding on for 2 more minutes?
Not a problem.
We have about 10 minutes left then after that, before we wrap up. Folks, we'll be back in another 2 minutes with Max Egan. Now, folks, you're very welcome back. Max, you're still with me?
Yes, I am.
Lovely, that's great. Max, I just want to move on now from the Irish side of things. And I want to talk to you a bit about something you've been discussing lately, is false flags. And there's been quite a lot of them this year.
They roll them out, they love it.
But they're making an awful lot of mistakes. Paris being one, I mean, they made a pig's ear of Paris, if you ask me. I've seen videos where you see this guy getting shot in the head and there's absolutely no blood. And you can see the edits in the video and it's obviously fake. And I read an article there today, and this is in Australia, that the restaurant shooting that happened in Australia recently, your own Prime Minister, Paul Abbott his name is?
Tony Abbott.
Oh, Tony Abbott, yeah, he announced there yesterday, it was on our media this morning, sweeping new security laws coming in now.
In Australia.
So you can see the problem, the reaction and the solution, like the Hegelian dialectic playing out.
Oh, yeah, they do it all the time. And this whole ISIS thing is a false flag. I mean, everything they do is false flags. ISIS has got nothing to do with Islam. ISIS came into being with this massive incursion into Gaza was happening and Israel was imploding. Suddenly ISIS came into being. And they're all being funded by Israel. The whole war against Syria, all these insurgents in Syria, this is all Israel, the whole thing. And that beheading in Egypt, I mean, did you see that beheading in Egypt? It was like a Spielberg production. It was ridiculous. I mean, the editing and everything, and the ocean of blood at the end. I mean, it was so obviously set up, and it's all false flags designed to create this whole global police state. That's what it's all about. But I mean, it's becoming transparent. But unfortunately, a lot of people are buying into it still. A lot of the mainstream are buying into it, and the media is just selling it to the people. That's another problem that we got, really, is the media. I mean, these guys are so complicit in war crimes, it's ridiculous, because these are the ones who are selling it to everybody.
Now, can I ask you your opinion on all the star whacking that's been going on lately? There seems to be quite a lot of that. You know, Williams, there is talk online, whether you want to believe it or not now, that these people have been taken out by the Illuminati, if you want to believe in the Illuminati or the Cabal, whatever title you want to give them.
I don't know, what was the term you used? Star whacking? Or?
Star whacking, yeah. You know, like major Hollywood celebrities. Like, you know, people like Paul Walker from The Fast and the Furious. There's a lot of talk that he was taken out. Joan Rivers was supposed to be murdered a couple of days after she said Michelle Obama was a transgender.
Yeah, well, all of this sort of stuff's going on. They don't want people in those positions speaking out because people might pay attention to them, you know?
Yeah, now Randy Quaid, you know the actor Randy Quaid? He was in the movie Independence Day, the head case at the end of it. He's online now. You can go onto YouTube and he's putting lots of videos where he's saying he's been pursued by star whackers in Hollywood who are trying to strip him of his wealth and ruin his life.
Well, it's happened to a lot of people. Look at Scott Stapp out of Creed, has also been through a lot of this. He woke up and started speaking out about what's going on in the world, and suddenly he was stripped of all of his wealth. He was accused of being part of a plot to assassinate Obama and all sorts of things. So there's a lot of this goes on. I think that they actually infiltrate a lot of these people and set them up with wives or whatever that are plants and, you know, all of this sort of stuff. When you look at Scott Stapp, actually, you look at his wife, And his wife's sister is actually high up there in the Department of Defense and all sorts of stuff. So a lot of connections there. I think a lot of these people are set up to fail. They put people in there just in case they wake up so they can bring them down.
Yeah, it's crazy, Ollie. Now, something else I wanted to ask you, Max. I don't know if you ever heard not a term, I suppose, but the story that goes with the Illuminati, that if they're planning an event, say like a 9/11 or whatever, they've got to tell you. And you just see it in all these movies, all these little hints and tips that, you know, something's coming down the line. And the reason I ask you that is, during the Gaza conflict last year, the Israeli embassy here in Dublin put out these pictures on their Twitter feed. And they were pictures of... In Dublin, we've got a statue called the Molly Malone statue. I'm not sure if you've ever seen it. And they had Molly Malone dressed in a hijab. And the caption that went where it was, Israel now, Dublin next. Then there was another one then for France with the Mona Lisa with a rocket launcher saying, Israel now, Paris next. Then there was another one, Israel now, Denmark next. Now, I've seen Paris get their false flag event. Denmark had their one in Copenhagen there over the last couple of weeks. So the only other two that are left in the pictures now is Dublin and Italy.
Well, it wouldn't surprise me at all. It wouldn't surprise me at all. And they'll blame it on Muslims. They always do when it's Israel.
Mm.
You know, and a lot of this is done to vilify Gaza. You notice all of these terrorists, so-called terrorists, are always wearing Palestinian cloths on their heads.
Yeah.
Whether they come from Syria or anywhere, they've always got a Palestinian cloth hanging off them. Just to make you think that Palestine is full of terrorists and Gaza is full of terrorists. I mean, the poor people in Gaza get blamed for so much that they don't do, and they're just people, innocent people trapped in a living hell. I've been trying to get back in there. I was supposed to go in there this month again. But you know, then all this stuff erupted in Egypt. It's just ridiculous. I've been trying to get in there since October last year, and every time I think there's a window that I can get in, something happens and I can't get in again. But it's absolutely disgraceful. But yeah, we could see something going on. It wouldn't surprise me at all. It wouldn't surprise me. And look, with Paris, I mean, Paris recognized the Palestinian state. Benjamin Netanyahu said, oh, this is going to go very badly for Paris. And then a week later, we had the Paris shooting.
Mm.
And they told you, like you said, in the magazine, they told you all this stuff, what they're going to attack and who they're going to blame it on. You know, it's all theatre for the masses. It really is. I mean, you can't believe anything that the media tells you. The whole thing is spun. And what we're seeing in the Middle East with this whole ISIS and this whole fake war on terror is the Greater Israel Project. And that's what we're seeing. This has been predicted for a long time. It was all outlined in a document by Oded Yunin in the Strategy for Israel in the 1980s. Where he actually said, you know, Iraq was the first target, and they were going to go in and destabilize Syria and Jordan and all these places, and that's exactly what they're doing now. I mean, it's theater for the masses. There is no Muslim threat. The threat is Israel.
Have you ever heard of the Samson option?
Absolutely. This has been made on several occasions, they've said this.
Do you think it's real, the Samson option? Like, as far as Israel is concerned, that they've got nukes pointed at every major city around Europe, and that if anyone tries to take Israel down, well, we're all going down with them.
No, I believe that they would. They are that psychopathic. They would destroy the world if their existence is threatened. Absolutely. They've said they would on several occasions, and they appear to have the nuclear arsenal there to do it.
But even
all given to them by the United States, of course.
They do deny that they have nukes, though, don't they?
They have nukes.
They have nukes. They have a huge nuclear arsenal. They have massive chemical weapons labs there. They manufacture all sorts of stuff. They do have nukes. They got hydrogen bomb technology from the United States. Even there was recently a debate on Press TV with my friend Ken O'Keefe and some guy from America who looked terribly constipated. They were discussing the fact that they got H-bomb technology from the United States. I mean, and a hydrogen bomb is a nuclear weapon. Let's face it, it is. So they do have nuclear weapons, and they have said on several occasions that they will implement the Samson option if their existence is ever threatened. Do they have nukes trained in every major city in the world? And if they go down, they'll take the whole world down with them.
No,
this is psychopathic mentality.
Because you hear the man on the street in this country, you know, if the discussion was up in a pub or whatever about what's going on out in Gaza and stuff like that, and you hear people say, what is it with Muslim countries? You know, they all surround Israel, yet they all seem to be afraid of them. Why won't anybody go near Israel? It is obviously, I think, because of the Samson option.
Well, it's also because Israel's protected by the United States. Anybody that goes into Israel gets carpet bombed by the United States because Israel has hijacked the United States. They've hijacked the entire U.S. government. If you look at the U.S. government, it's full of dual citizens. It's all serving Israel. The American wealth, the people in America are being subject to poverty. I mean, the poverty line is rising and rising in America, and all of this money is being funneled into wars for Israel, and they're sending $7 million a day aid to Israel. I mean, that's why no one can touch Israel, because Israel has an endless supply of weapons, and it has the United States as an attack dog for anybody who ever stands up to it. And all Israel has done is carry out aggression against its neighbors since coming into being 60 or 70 years ago. It just suddenly appeared there in the Middle East, and it's been attacking everybody around it ever since and destabilizing the entire area, all while crying victim. It's an absolute scam.
Systematically wiping everybody out.
But I mean,
well, they are.
It's genocide. It's genocide.
Well, it says you know, according to God, the promised land goes from the Nile Basin to the Euphrates. So you've got basically an area that covers parts of Egypt from the east bank of the Nile to the west bank of the Euphrates in Iraq. So basically a country that covers all from Egypt to Iraq and half of Iraq. So that's what Israel wants to become. And that's why they've destabilized the whole region. They're going and saying, well, this is our chosen land. It said so in the Bible. This is what the Israeli flag represents. You've got the two stripes. This represents the two rivers with the star in the middle. This is Israel exists between these two rivers. And they've just gone in and destabilized the entire area under the threat of Muslim terrorism, which doesn't exist. It's something that they've cooked up themselves. And all these people, like, even if ISIS is recruiting people all over the place, these are just people with a chip on their shoulder who'll go and join any fight. But when you look at it, the whole thing is being run by the West. It's being financed by the West. They're all using U.S. weaponry. They're getting weapons drops from the United States. They're receiving medical attention in the Golan Heights, documented even on video, that the makeshift hospitals they got in the Golan Heights set up by Israel, where ISIS are going and receiving medical attention. I mean, it's all documented that this is happening. The whole thing's being run by the West. And it's all been done to destabilize the region, bring about the Greater Israel Project, and lock our countries down under the threat of keeping us, you know, the guise of keeping us safe from terrorism, the terrorism that our governments themselves are financing and carrying out in the Arab world.
So, ask you, Max, do you think ISIS is a real physical terrorist organization, or do you think it just exists on television?
No.
I mean, do you ever see the movie Wag the Dog?
Yeah, I think it just exists on television. I think there's Blackwater. There's 50,000, at least 50,000 ghost soldiers on the U.S. Iraqi payroll, right? Ghost soldiers in the Iraqi army that are being paid by the United States government, at least 50,000 of them. There's at least 50,000 to 60,000 ISIL terrorists in the area that are all using U.S. weaponry.
Yeah.
This is ISIS. It's Blackwater, Z, Mossad, CIA. There's a group of rebels that are out there doing all of this bad stuff, but it's all been run by the West. It's not this whole Islamic State that they're saying they want to create. Why wouldn't people trying to create an Islamic State, why would they be going out and terrorizing all of these Islamic countries the way they're doing, and destabilizing the entire area and rallying the world to fight Islam and rallying everybody to side with Israel? That's what ISIS is doing. The actions of ISIS can have only one result, and that is to turn the entire world against Islam, split the world into East versus West, with the need to protect God's chosen land of Israel. The whole thing's a scam. It's been run by Israel, and it's fake. People need to wake up and smell the coffee. There is no ISIS.
Unfortunately, I've come to the end of the show, Max. It is a 30 seconds to 10 o'clock. Unfortunately, an hour is not enough, Max. I'd love to have a couple of more hours with you. But I'd love to get you back on again, Max. So on behalf of the world you don't know, I'd like to thank you for coming on to the show. Thanks very much.
My pleasure, brother. My pleasure.
And
anytime.
I'll talk to you again soon. Folks, that's been Max.
Bye, Max.
Right. Bye, Max. Thanks very much.
Bye-bye.
That was Max Egan, absolute gentleman. You can check his website out. It's called thecrowhouse.com, and you can get that anywhere on the internet. So check it out. And he's also on YouTube. Just type in Max Egan, spelled M-A-X-I-G-A-N. So until next week, folks, this has been The World You Don't Know. Take care and be kind to yourselves.
Bye, folks.